One of the things I want to talk about real quick before, you can open your Bibles to Matthew 7, but as we're going to Matthew 7, I wanted to just give you a little bit of a reminder about our Mission Sunday that's coming up. It's always the first Sunday in June, and it's a time when we take missions pledges. So we're not one of those churches that's going to show you a bunch of videos of starving kids in Africa to make you feel bad so that you give. It's just not who we are. We ask you to pray ahead of time and to ask the Lord what he would have you give toward missions. And we have had the most incredible missions giving that I know of. I mean, for the size of church that we are, the amount that we give is literally, it's mind-blowing. And it touches so many of our missionaries and their kids. You know, I remember one of our missionaries said, it's almost like that your gifts always come right at that moment when we need to be encouraged or reminded that God cares. And we've even seen the Lord touch our missionaries' kids, and they're learning the power of when you're obedient to the voice of God and you give, then he blesses you back. Amen? And so we are coming up the 1st of June, I believe it's, now I'm going to forget. That's the 1st of June. I'll tell you the date next week. The 6th, thank you. June 6th, the first Sunday in June. And so we will be doing our pledges that day. You'll get a little card. And you may be saying, well, what's the pledge for? Well, the pledge is to tell us what you're going to try to give that year. Then that tells us what we have to, how we have to budget our missions and where things will go. I'll tell you, most of the time, people get done with their pledges ahead of time. It's amazing because God brings in the extra finances, because when he gives you an amount to give, he'll bless you with the ability to be able to give that. Amen? And this last year, we were able to give all of our missionaries their normal giving, and there's still money in our missions account that I'm going to have to figure out where it's going to go. So that's a good problem to have. Amen? To be in April, and we're not even all the way to June yet, and all of our missions blessings have been paid out, and I still have extra to give. So that extra, we always pray as pastors, if we're supposed to give to a specific person, or just bless them all with a little extra. Amen? So just be praying and asking the Lord what you and your family will be giving or pledging on that Sunday. Amen. Let's go ahead and open up, if you already have it, Matthew 7, and we're continuing on with the power of a door. And today we are going to go with doors open when we knock the right way. I don't know about you, but do you have a family member that they always knock the exact same way? So you don't even have to wonder who it is. My dad has this famous knock that he always knocks, and even down to Everly, she's like, it's Papa, he's here. You know, we just all know it's his knock, right? And so you know that, okay, we can answer the door. Let's go ahead and look in verse 7, and it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? How many times have you needed something in your life and you just didn't ask the Lord for it? You just thought, I'll figure it out on my own. I can do this on my own. You know, he's given me a brain. He's given me the resources. I can do this on my own, right? And that's okay. He has given you a brain. He has given you the intelligence to work things through. But I'm here to tell you today, he doesn't want you to work it through on your own. He wants to be the one who helps. And how do we know that? Because of this verse. If he didn't want you to ask, if he didn't want you to seek, and he didn't want you to knock, then he wouldn't have put it in here. But he's saying to us today, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, and knock and it will be open to you. Now, if you flip over to James 4, we're going to discover something, because sometimes people say, well, I am asking, but God isn't answering. So let's go over here to James 4. In verse 2, it says this, you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and can't obtain. You fight and you war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. So sometimes we have the problem of we just don't ask, or sometimes we ask with wrong motives. You may be saying, well, how do I know if my motive is good or not? Well, how much time are you spending in the Word? Because if you're spending time, I know you're going to be like, here she goes again, all about the Word. It is all about the Word. Because if you're spending time in the Word, your heart is going to be in the right place. So when you're reading the Word, it changes your heart. And when it changes your heart, it changes what you're going to ask for and why you're asking for it. Does that make sense? He's saying here that you don't have because you lust, you covet, you fight, you war, right? You're struggling, you're trying to do things your own way, you're trying to do it for your own purposes because you're covetous. It means you want what someone else has. How many people know it's okay to look at your neighbor's car and go, "Woo, that is a fine car. I would like one like that someday." Not saying, "I want that car," right? That's the difference between covetousness. Covetousness, you want that car, their car, right? But it's okay to say, hey, I'd love a car like that someday. Amen? So you're asking with wrong motives. A lot of the things they're listing here is based on selfishness. You're asking because you want something for yourself, and it's probably not lined up with what God wants for you. Sometimes my kids have asked me for things, and how many times has a parent you done this? No, I don't think so. With a laugh, right? I mean, Mom, I'd like a hunting gun. No, I don't think so. Right? I mean, when they were little, the boys wanted the Swiss Army knives, right? I was like, well, you can get the ones that have the fork and the spoon and no knives, right? Why do we do that as parents? Why do we not give them everything that they want? Because they could get hurt, right? Well, sometimes when we ask with wrong motives, and we don't even know that they're wrong because we haven't been in the Word, and our Heavenly Father is gracious enough to say, I don't think so, right? Because He doesn't want us to get hurt. But if we're spending time in the Word, if we're making this our number one priority, if this is what we're putting into ourselves and we're feeding on, then we're going to ask with right motives. And we're going to find when we knock on the door, He's going to recognize our knock. And He's going to say, hey, I know who that is. I love Everly and Ella do that with my dad. They're like, hey, I know who you are. When He knocks that knock. That's what the Lord's going to say when you're asking with right motives and you're knocking. He's going to go, hey, I know who you are. You got my heart. You're asking, yes, you're asking the right thing. Yes, I'm going to bless you, because it says in the next verse in Matthew that when you ask, you will receive. When you seek, you will find. And when you knock, the door will be open to you. Amen? So today, the power of a door is realizing you have to ask with the right motives. You've got to have the right knock, okay? And that's going to be based on His Word. And when you're in His Word, it changes your heart. You find that you're asking for things yes, the Lord wants to bless us. He wants to provide for us. Amen? Because there's times like in our house where you're stretching and you're growing and you're stretching and you're hitting somebody else, right? Or you have to tell your kids, okay, you have this little place, now don't touch each other on the couch, right? You need a little extra room, right? He understands that. He knows that. He knows that when you're asking, one of my heart's desires is to have a bigger house so that we can have people over. Right now, when we have people over, even just our family, I can't even have my family because they're way too big. But Steve's family, we can crowd everybody into the kitchen, but there is no room. Don't anybody think about getting up and getting seconds until everybody's done with their first, right? Because you can't walk through the kitchen. Well, I want to be blessed to be a blessing. Amen? To have a place where people can come and to gather, especially in these days, when you can't really go out to eat and do all these fun things, well, how awesome would it be to have people over to your home? Amen? My motives, I know, are correct because they're lined up with the Word. I'm not looking at that house as being my idol. I'm looking at that house as being my tool. Amen. Amen. And that's what money is in our hands. It's not our idol, it's our tool that we can use for the kingdom of God. So we need to make sure we are in the Word. I'm going to say it again. Make sure you are in the Word. It is so simple these days. You plug in an app on your phone and the Bible will talk to you through your phone while you're driving. I don't know how much easier that can get. Okay, that's like spoon feeding, right? All it takes is just a little tiny bit of effort for a major result, because you're putting the Word in your heart. So that when we're asking, we're going to get what we're going to receive. When we're seeking, we're going to find. And when we knock, the Lord's going to say, hey, I recognize that knock. Right motives. Here it comes. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to have the right kind of knock, the right kind of motives. Blessed to be a blessing, right? We are supposed to honor God with our first fruits, and then He'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing we can't contain. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just praise you for the power of a door. We thank you, Lord, today for giving us wisdom, helping us to see in your Word right motives and right thinking. And Father, being able to enjoy the blessings that you've given us, that is also a right motive. And Lord, I just pray today that you would wipe away religious tradition, religious thinking, that poor shows that we love you. No, it doesn't, Lord, because poor means we're selfish, because all we can take care of is us. We need to be blessed to be a blessing. So I pray, Father, that you would show us the right way to knock on the doors so that they will be opened. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Father, that we are not going to stop asking, seeking, and knocking, Father, because you wouldn't have told us these things if you didn't want us to do it. And so we ask today, Father, that you would give us wisdom in our finances, wisdom like we've never known before. Help us to listen, Father, to the words that you give us and to receive them. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you that as we seek after you with all our hearts, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. As we seek you first, Father, we know we will find the treasures that you have for us in this life. And as we knock, Father, we know the doors will be opened because our hearts are in line with you. We praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that is sown and every gift that is given, Lord. Bless the giver a hundredfold harvest, Lord, so we can continue to be a blessing, Father, to our families, to our neighbors, to our cities, to our states, to our country, and to the world, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, let's pray over this message today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We give you all the praise and glory for your words to us. We receive them. Lord, Holy Ghost, that you would show us, God, how to act on it, what to do, what to change, when to change, how to change. And we just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, before we get into this message this morning, Shelley was talking about knocking on the door, and Reed and Peggy's son was sworn in as police chief of what city?
Pismo Beach,
California. What's his name again?
Jeff.
So somebody say, Lord bless Officer Jeff, Chief Jeff. Amen. And thank you, God, for men and women who serve. Amen. As police officers. We are not a church that disrespects our law enforcement. We honor them. Amen? And Reed and I were talking this morning a little bit, and we were talking about, there probably are some bad eggs in any profession. And Reed was saying, you know what? We don't need to throw out the bad egg. They might just need some teaching, some coaching a little bit. It's like so true. And it reminded me this week in my day job, I was in downtown Portland for a big portion of my day. And my goodness, what do? You pray, you intercede, right? And written on, if you've driven through downtown Portland or in recent history, there are boarded up buildings. And you work there, right? And there are buildings that are boarded up. literally. And I did a couple of them that I had to go through a boarded up makeshift door. And a lot of the buildings are just vacant. People have just left, right? And I walked downstairs into this one building, and there's these old bank vaults, and they're remodeling the building, and you're inside a, it's kind of eerie, because everything is just boarded up. But this other building on the other side of town there, downtown, I knew last time I was there, nobody was there. So I walked up to the door, there's a bell that you're supposed to ring that isn't there. And I just walked up and, okay, I knocked, all right? Now I'm gonna do the outside and leave, right? Pest control, right? And the doors open, right? Kind of automatically, and I'm like, who's in there? It's a police officer. And he's got the full vest on, and he's like, I'm looking at who's in there, and he's like, who's out there? He's all by himself inside there, kind of at the desk, and he's security, right? But Portland police. And he let me walk through and do my pest control service. And as I'm leaving, I'm like, sir, thank you for your service. I know you're the good guys. And he's like, thank you for saying that. He's like, what I tell all the haters out there is that in any profession, there's going to be some bad ones, whether it's in the mid, he said, priesthood or business or the law enforcement. He's like, so just chill out. But it was just cool to be able to tell somebody thank you for your service, amen? And even walking around town there, somebody had spray painted on one of the boards, kill cops. And I thought, you know what, man? Somebody say, repent, right? Brother Keith was talking about this morning, about people just not respecting authority, amen? Now, yeah, there's some issues with racism and all these kind of things, but a lot of things that happen out there wouldn't happen if somebody would just simply respect authority. Amen. Praise God. So may the Lord protect and bless our law enforcement officials in Jesus' name. They are ministers of God. And Lord, we cover them with the blood today. We bind the devil who comes to steal and kill and destroy. We do bind racism in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, that people would just wake up to Jesus, wake up to the gospel, love God and love people. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Somebody say amen. And now we continue with today's message. But our foundation text, you know, we're continuing with fight or the good fight of faith. Somebody say, I'm in a fight. I am in a fight, the fight of faith. Amen. And it's a good fight, the Bible says. We're not fighting against people. Amen. We're not fighting against different races. We're not fighting against different religions. We're not fighting against one another. Amen. The fight is with the devil. Somebody say, the fight is with the devil. Right? And he's the one, the Bible says, that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And even again this past week when the judgment was passed on behalf of the police officer that killed the guy and, you know, had his knee on his neck and everything. And even though they pronounced him guilty and so forth, there were still people burning things in Portland. It's like, what? Right? That's not a good fight. Right? Amen? It's called come to Jesus. Anybody ever heard of somebody say we need to have a come to Jesus moment? Right? Well, that's what our nation needs. Amen? That's what and the church needs in many cases. Right? A lot of people get concerned with, you know, the school systems and yes, amen, the city, the government, all that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, the Bible left the church a long time before it left the government, before it left the school, right? Somebody say, get the Bible back into the church. And the church, let the church rise up and be the light in the community, amen? But we're fighting the good fight, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to review the key definitions there. You can go back to the past couple weeks online, redeemed-church.org, and hear some more of the kind of the foundational definitions and so forth of what we're talking about. But the main idea is that we are in a fight of faith. Amen? And I heard a minister say once, it's a good fight if it's a fight that you win. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus has already won this fight. And that's the good news, isn't it? All we have to do is stand our ground, stand the ground that Jesus took. Amen. And we do have an enemy out there that is still trying to steal, that is still trying to kill, that is still trying to destroy. And the church needs to be still standing our ground and still taking back things that the devil is trying to steal. Amen? But we've been taking some time and talking about some would-be challengers to faith. And today, I want to look at faith's would-be challenger of poverty. Poverty, shortage, lack, insufficiency, debt, none of those things are a blessing from God. And, you know, some would say, I've heard, you know, in certain religious circles, like I think the Catholic priesthood and so forth, they take what's called a vow of poverty. Well, that is not a biblical thing. Amen? No. In fact, there are scriptures that talk about those who serve in the ministry are worthy of double honor. We were listening to Jesse DePlantis this morning. He's speaking at Eagle Mountain, and he was talking about this real wealthy guy that was real supportive at their ministry for a long time until Jesse started giving more than him. Then all of a sudden, he didn't feel superior anymore. It's like, come on, right? Amen? But poverty, lack, insufficiency is not a part of God's plan, never has been for you. Amen? I mean, again, just drive through Portland, and you'll see it everywhere, right? People living on the streets in tents, piles of trash. It is a spirit of poverty. That's why usually when I walk in this building, I try to make time to do a five-minute walk around our campus to pick up trash off the ground, because people throw cigarette butts out there, candy, garbage on the you know, out in the bark dust or on the sidewalks. Last week we came in and the Philistines had a party the night before, and the cleaning crew didn't make it in, so there was the floors were all sticky and nasty, and beer bottles were everywhere. In a leased facility, sometimes you deal with human beings. Amen. So what did we do? We made an adjustment and shifted down the hall. We didn't just say, well, this is good enough. No, amen? We serve a God of great prosperity and great blessing. When we get to heaven, the streets are paved with gold. Amen? There are mansions. It's going to be beautiful. It talks about gates on the holy city made of solid pearl and jasper and all these priceless stones. I mean, you think the media was hard on President Trump for being a blessed man? Just think if they could get their cameras into heaven and see the holy city. Oh, would they be after God? God sits on a royal throne, city paved with gold streets, and people are starving on the streets of Portland without a house to live in. Shame on God. Somebody say, it must not be God's fault if someone is not prospering. Amen. And every time the offering is received, it's not something we tell people you have to do. We don't expect people to give and give and give. No, giving, sowing, you know, tithes and offerings is an opportunity for us to get in on God's plan. And I don't know about you, but it's a good time to get into God's plan. Amen. If you just look at the things that are happening in this world. Amen. If there's a way out of it, somebody say, I'm taking it. Praise the Lord forevermore. But look at Deuteronomy 28 in your notes, the first 14 verses. And this is a great idea to look at in terms of God's heart to prosper you, to prosper anyone. Somebody say, anyone. This works for anybody who will believe God. Well, how come there's so many broke Christians out there? Well, because they don't know this. They don't know this. They're not taught this. They don't hear this. They're taught that money is evil. Well, money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is a tool. The blessing of God is a tool. And prosperity is bigger than money. Prosperity is peace in every area of our lives. Amen? The health of God, the blessing of God in every area of our lives. Amen? But Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 says this, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth." And all these blessings, and I highlighted everywhere on this this scripture, everywhere it says blessing, right? I think there's like 11 of them in 14 verses, right? "All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." So, hey, church, perhaps could that be one reason why a Christian might be suffering financially? Because they might be in disobedience in some in some area of their life. Amen? Walking in strife, gossip, some sort of sin in their life that they're not, that they just ignore, right? Somebody say, stay right with Jesus. I love how Keith Moore says, walk in the light that you have. Amen? It's not talking about obeying 660-something different commandments the Bible lays out. No, it's just talking about have a good heart to God. Amen? And walk in the light that we have. And if we're serving God, if we're obeying God, if we're, you know, seeking him with all of our hearts, we can believe him for his prosperity in every area of our life. It's this called being in the family. Amen? Somebody say, I'm in the family. I'm God's son. I'm God's daughter. And if you are God's son and God's daughter, then you have a right to his wealth and his possessions. Amen? All these blessings will come upon you, overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle and offspring and your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. I mean, somebody say, I'm blessed. That's a good way to answer someone. How you doing today? I'm blessed. Well, you're not just throwing a religious word out there. You're saying in faith, God has blessed me. Amen? Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing, say blessing, on you in your storehouses and all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Verse 10, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. See, where did this idea of Christians need to be broke come from? Somebody say, the devil. Or religious organizations that want all your money. You can't handle that money. Give it all to us. Just give it all to us, and we'll take care of it for you. Somebody say no. Amen. Verse 11, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you the good treasure, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its season, and to bless, somebody say bless, all the work of your hand. See, faith doesn't say there's no work involved, right? That's another issue with many believers, is they just sit around doing nothing, expecting the blessing of God to just magically drop into their life. No, no. You have to get up and do something. Somebody say, do something. And there's a movement in our nation right now to get you to not do anything, and we'll just take care of you. Somebody say, that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. Amen? We need to be people of action, right? You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and be careful to observe them, so that you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. Amen? So see, somebody say, God first. PGF, put God first. His agenda, his plan, seek him with all your heart. Prosperity is just one of the benefits of being a Christian, church. Just one of the benefits, financial prosperity, I'm talking about. Amen? Praise God. And don't you know, the world needs to see financially blessed Christians. People of God that are not enslaved to debt. I've had people tell me, well, you know, the housing market is so good right now. They're practically just giving away free money. Well, maybe. But did you notice the cost of houses? They're still getting their money. You're just agreeing to a very low interest rate for a very high price of a house. Somebody say the world system is the world system, right? We need to be people of faith who trust God to provide for our needs supernaturally. I can tell you, church, this is a supernatural manifestation of God's hand in our lives as a ministry right here. This place to meet. Amen? It's marvelous. We're seeing it in our own lives right now. Financially at our house, we've been breaking through and doing things, and we're doing home improvements, things we've been putting off for years, and God is helping us to start getting done, right? The value of our property is increasing. The temptation is, well, just go sell it then and buy something that's worth, $600,000 with very low interest. Can I say it this way? I'm not interested. Because that would be me trying to figure it out myself and doing it my way and leaving, you know, $500,000 of debt for my kids. Something to deal with, right? No! Well, why don't you just take that money in the church's, you know, account and go buy something? Somebody say, be led by the Holy Ghost, right? And I love, Brother Copeland was speaking this week at this Sacramento victory campaign they had. Beautiful church down there, debt-free church, amazing church. And he said something to the effect of, he said, you ever heard of Yankee Stadium? And they call it the house that Ruth built. He said, well, this is an example of a house that faith built. And I'll tell you what, you are sitting right now in a house that faith is building, that God is building. And I'll tell you what, it rubs off on all of us. If we just be people that insist, now, yeah, I may have to wait a little longer, but it's going to be nicer. It's going to be better. It's going to minister to more people. It's not going to make me have to increase my blood pressure to get it. You know, you increase your stress load. I mean, good Lord, who needs that? Amen? Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Well, on the opposite side of your notes there, last week we had something I put out there called the healing hot sheet. I think that's what I called it. And I was just doing this for my own personal benefit, but it's like as we were doing this fighting the fight of faith message, it's like, you know what, this is perfect for what we're doing now. And here's a list of scriptures that you can use. You can say out loud, speak, study. It's not everything that's in the Bible, but it's a good start. Amen. And I love, again, Brother Jesse says, you know, when God is ministering to him to receive something from God, I mean, they have jets in their ministry. Why?
Why do they have jets?
Well, why do you have two cars? Right? So you can go to work, amen, and not have to be dependent on the bus system and so forth. They are a traveling ministry. They travel around the world. Brother Kenneth said it again this week. He's like, all the more in 2020, I can see why God moved on us to have our own jets. Because if you tried traveling lately, amen. And they go places around the world that United just won't go. And they're on the schedule God gives them. It's a marvelous thing. Amen. So whatever you're believing God for, the first thing, somebody say the first thing, is simply believe him for it. Simply just say, Lord, I believe you that you want to prosper me, and I'm open to the idea. You know, that separates you from a lot of the church. Because a lot of Christian people out there are not open to the idea of God prospering them. Amen? And when somebody gets mad at the preacher or mad at the message of prosperity, the minister is not the one with the money issue. It's the person out there that has the, because they're the one that has the issue with money. If talking and preaching about the prosperity of God makes someone mad, that's because they have the issue with money. Amen? So somebody just say, Lord, I believe you to prosper me today. I am open to the idea of you blessing me financially, of having more money at the end of the month, not more month at the end of the money. Somebody say amen. And we need to be people that thank God for everything. To just say, Lord, thank you. This is, start noticing it. Because I'll tell you what, it's all around you. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. But this prosperity hot sheet, we're going to go over this in just a few minutes. And we'll start with Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 10. And it says this. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and fear him. Now, let me ask you this before we get into this part. We just read Deuteronomy 28. When in the Bible did God ever change his mind about that? I've heard ministers say, yeah, God is the God of the blessing in the Old Testament and lack in the New Testament. No, that would be religion that would say that, right? Amen? Now, there are obstacles in any part of our life that we're pressing into. That's why it's called fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Verse 7, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Somebody say a good land. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and land of olive oil and honey. Now the government would say, we can't trust you with that. That belongs to us. We can trust us with that, but not you with that, because you'll do something wrong with that. Amen. But that's not the truth, right? If you are a tither, if you're a tither of $100, you can be trusted with $1 million. I'm going to say that again really slow. If you tithe on $100, God can trust you with $1 million, because it's the same concept. $10 check, $100,000, a few more zeros, but you're a tither. Amen? And when you are blessed, you understand that the purpose of you being blessed is so you can be more of a, somebody say, blessing. So you can be more of a blessing. Amen? See, all this water and fountains and, right, wheat and barley and vines and are not just for me to can it for myself for a rainy day. No, it's for me to be a blessing to other people. Have you noticed there's problems in our city that need solving and the government cannot do it? It's somebody say, it's time for the church to rise up. It's time for the church to rise up and say, you don't need to be on heroin. You can come to Jesus. You don't need the weed. You can come to Jesus. You don't need to live out there in shacks and tents. You can come to Jesus and be saved. And that's just that sector of society. There's all kinds of people out there that just, somebody say, all they need is Jesus. Right? Amen. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. Somebody say nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you will bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Somebody just say, thank you, Lord. I receive that today. Your blessing financially in my life. Psalm 37, 21 and 22 says it this way. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Amen? So prosperous people are givers. But I'll say this, they're not givers because they're prosperous. They're prosperous because they are givers. Amen? Because money is not my Lord. Amen. I love Peter Daniels, one of the wealthier men in Australia, spoke at our church a number of years ago. And he said, money cannot be your God if you just keep giving it away. Somebody say hallelujah, right? 2 Chronicles 8, verses 1 and 2. King Solomon, right? Who's ever heard of King Solomon? It came to pass at the end of 20 years when Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house, that the cities which Hiram had given to Solomon, Solomon built them, and he settled the children of Israel there. This is kind of a snapshot of my heart, church. Build the church. Somebody say, God's house and my house. Established. Peace. From that foundation, look out, man. Somebody say hallelujah. And there it is right there in the world, in the word. We're going to build God's house, and we're going to see our houses built. Furnished, full, and free in the name of Jesus. If you have your Bible, turn to it quickly. That's okay. Luke 19, because this is a way to reiterate this thing we just read in 2 Chronicles, something Jesus said. Luke 19, verses 12 through 20-something. We'll see where we get, because we're almost out of time already. Therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, verse 13, and delivered to them 10 minas, which is about, they said, about 100 days' wages. And so, it's like startup cash, right? Delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. This is Jesus speaking, right? But his citizens hated him. There are people, guys, and I'm talking about Christian people, that hate the message of prosperity. Hate it. Maybe one reason why is because it puts some responsibility on them to prosper. Right? But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15, so it was that when he had returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained. Somebody say had gained by trading. Verse 16, then came the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. Glory to God, right? And he said to him, well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. Somebody say cities. Right? Solomon was just talking about cities. Jesus is talking about cities, isn't he? And the second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Somebody say cities. Hallelujah. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, master, here's your mina, which I have kept away in a handkerchief. For I feared you because you are an austere man. You collect what you do not deposit, reap what you did not sow. So see, there's a lot of people out there that just simply do not trust God, right? Or think he's an ogre. Verse 22. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? Somebody say amen. Can you tell that God is into prosperity? He's into results. Spiritual results, yes, but also financial results. Amen? Everything he's given us, our jobs, our homes, whatever it is he's given us, he expects it to increase. Somebody say God expects increase in every area of our lives. We're going to move on from that because we need to move toward wrapping up here. And that part about being over cities. Don't you know there are cities in our country that need Christian people running them, overseeing them, ministering in them? Somebody say, Lord, give me the city. Give us the city, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to skip down and the rest of those you can kind of read on your own time, right? But I want to look at Genesis 12 and Galatians 3 as we close, because this is foundational to believing God for prosperity. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse. I will curse him who curses you. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Somebody say blessed. This is the blessing that God put on Abram. Amen. Before he changed his name to Abraham. Amen. But look at this, Galatians 3. We can say, well, that was Abram. That was Abram, right? That was Abraham. Well, look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That first chapter that we read at the beginning, Deuteronomy 28, read the second half of it and you'll see what the curse is. It's everything we do not want in our lives, right? And it says here that Jesus has redeemed me from the curse, part of which is poverty. Amen? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So you see, when Jesus was crucified, he wasn't just dying for my sins. He actually became the curse for that period of time on the tree and bore it in his own body. Somebody say, I'm not going to insult God and turn down something that he provided for me with the cost of his very life. Amen. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham, somebody say Abraham, right? Might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Somebody say, through faith. So how do we receive God's prosperity? Somebody say, fight the fight of faith. Believe him for it. Somebody say, it's yours. Amen? All of these things that God just laid out to Abram right here belongs to you in Jesus. Somebody say, amen. He says, what does he say? I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. That's God's plan of prosperity for his people. Amen. Somebody say, I believe it. And I receive that today in Jesus' name. Let's stand up and we're just going to close in prayer this morning. And again, you can go through the rest of those on your own time. It's just a good study. And we just need to be converting ourselves, renewing our minds to the truth of God's word, that he is a God of prosperity and he wants to prosper you. Somebody say amen. Just lift your hands and say, Father God, I thank you for your word today. I receive it done in every area of my life. I receive your great prosperity. I receive a prosperity mindset in Jesus' mighty name. And I commit myself, Lord, to be a person of prosperity, to be a blessing wherever I go, and to be following the lead of your Holy Spirit in my giving and in my receiving. And I'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Just as we close here, I just remember I had Oral Roberts autograph his autobiography for me back in 2000. I got to meet him, and he wrote in there a scripture out of Philippians, but he said, Steve, always be a sower and a reaper. Somebody say, I'm a sower and a reaper. I expect results from my tithes and offerings and my giving, and I will prosper and be a blessing in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. God has nicer things for you. Bigger, better, nicer, newer. His blessing is manifesting in every area of your life. I declare you prosperous in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. Somebody say amen.